Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
We're the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is Thursday, December 6th, 2018. You can find this, I can't wait to talk about, wait, I'm not going to say anything about this game podcast, on Google Play, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcast, and Stitcher. You can find me on Twitter. I am at MarcusB814.
And I am at Nick Vern. That's N-I-C-K-V-E-R-N. And this week's episode, we're talking about, around, and breaking down Red Dead Redemption 2 with friend of the podcast, Al, and fellow AIE officer. Well, Marcus is an officer. I'm not. But AIE officer, Red Dead Redemption 2, super-duper enthusiast, and also friend of the podcast, Dent!
No! You forgot, and the Masterson of movie reviews.
Oh, the Master. Sorry. I'll just restart the whole thing.
No, we're not going to start over. Well, we would if we weren't live. Jesus. This is going to be a fail.
Well, anyways, thank you for coming on the show again, both of you. What have you guys been up to this week? Al, would you like to start?
Sure. As always, it's my pleasure to be here.
We love having you.
Yeah, I love being here. Honestly, prepping for finals, dude. Sleep deprivation is right up there. Caffeine shots. On the side note, I've been gaming as much as possible. Red Dead Redemption is a big thing in my life right now.
I think it's a big thing in everybody's life.
Shame yeah. On. Shame on you.
I forgot something. When we get to my part. Okay. Go ahead, Al. What else have you been doing besides Red Dead and finals week? Anything?
No, that's pretty much it. Red Dead, I've been trying to game a couple other games, Battlefield 5, Destiny 2. A buddy of mine got me to try it, so fun times.
So Battlefield 5 is pretty awesome. It looks unreal on my computer.
Oh, yeah. We booted it up. Actually, after last episode, Marcus downloaded it. It was like, screw it, I'm getting this game.
I want to play it. I don't want it on a PlayStation because the controller is the worst thing in the world.
So right,
I played the beta and I was really disappointed with the beta.
Right.
And, I was at that point where I was not going to buy it. And then I watched a couple of reviews and I saw that it's actually good. I was like, screw it. I'm going to, spend my hard-earned money on that game. And I'm enjoying it so far. So it's worth it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it in stunning 4K with a G-Sync monitor on Ultra. Ultra. Anyway.
So off.
So Dent, what have you been doing this week?
So this week, let's see. Sunday night, we did Desktop Troopers and ran Vet Mode Terror from Beyond.
Yes, we did.
And then Monday night, my team ran Dread Palace, which you subbed in for.
Yep.
And then last night, I subbed in as a tank for a sup, and we were doing a Temple of Sacrifice. And I've gotten a little bit of that game called Red Dead Redemption 2 in.
Are you hooked on it, too?
let me just say, like,
I
got, maybe I had about 10 hours in and I restarted my game because I didn't like how I was progressing.
Wait, you played 10 hours and you started it over?
Yes. And then I progressed too far in the game and I reverted back in another save, which was like another, 5 hours lost.
Huh. Wait, so I know some stuff changes, and we can talk a lot more about this when we get into the actual Red Dead section, but...
I shot the trapper in the first one.
You shot the trapper? Okay, now I get it. But most of the shopkeepers, they usually respawn,
like,
right?
I know, but I was like, the hell of this, I'm restarting.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, because he'll always make sly comments like, "Oh, you're back again. I've got my eye on you," and then he'll have like head bandages on or something like that.
Yep. Yeah,
I get that. So
I don't get it. I don't understand the point.
Well, that's because you played the tutorial and then quit.
No, I did a couple missions.
You quit. You basically just you quit. You failed.
No, I didn't fail. Yeah, I did not fail.
Kinda.
It's hard for me. I'm going to get into it, though. I am really, truly going to get into it.
So, as for what I've been up to this week, since Marcus is buried in his phone trying to do social media things.
No, I'm done.
I, besides some school stuff, like Al said, we both go to UConn together. But, so it's finals week coming up. So it's been a lot of school things. But outside of school, I've basically just been playing Red Dead Redemption. A, spoiler alert, because I like it a lot. And B, because, you know, I've just been trying to get as much game, much of this game in as possible before this episode.
It's complete bullshit, okay? I don't, first of all, what is wool? Wool!
A whole bunch.
A whole, alright. Alright, anyway. So,
hang on, is the stream... Hold on, I think the stream is down a little bit. I'm not sure.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know if you might be still be broadcasting, but mine just dipped.
Are you guys there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm still
okay.
Here.
I think we're still fine.
All right.
Okay. So, see, this is why we hardwired your laptop. Yeah. Marcus's, which is what's streaming. Hey, what's up, Tom? FIFA. I have not played any FIFA.
Anyway, no, you're going to ruin my train of thought, okay? This, you got to stop. So you were talking about Red Dead, and you were like, I'm really focused in, like, I like doing all the side missions because I enjoy it, and you're like, I just want to beat it so then I can talk about the entire game on the show.
Right.
And I was like, fuck that. Yeah. Why are you going to do that? And enjoy the game the way you want. Who cares if you don't beat it?
Right.
If you've done, you know, 5 out of 7 chapters, you know how the fucking game is.
Right, that's
you
true.
Know that you enjoy it and you like being a cowboy.
Yeah.
And you like
but there
kicking
are
people
story
off
beats
mountains.
That are really good.
Yeah, but you know, you don't need to break down every piece of story in this conversation.
That's true.
Enjoy the game the way you do it.
Yeah.
Like me, I bitch and complain because I hate the smuggler class because it sucks. But but the story of it is awesome. It just takes forever to kill anything, and it's just terrible because there's no lightsabers. Anyway,
right.
Sorry that. So, and play the game you want. Don't
you're playing
ever rush
it.
Well, maybe I play everything wrong. But my point is don't ever rush a game if you love it, because what happens when you rush it, you're not going to be able to go back to that one mission where, you know, the fat lady was hungry and she wanted you to go kill a deer for her, and then the guy pulls you in to go rob the bank while you're going to kill a deer or something,
right,
and you miss that one little mission.
Actually, I think there is mission replay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is as well.
Yeah.
Well, anywho, but you can only experience stuff for the first time once, you know what I mean?
Right.
There's mission replay for the completists who want to get gold on everything.
Okay.
What's gold mean?
Well, you're ranked on the missions, so you can get gold, silver, bronze, depending on how well you perform.
Right.
Oh, because when I did the tutorial, I got silver or bronze on everything.
I don't remember those.
Yeah. Right next to the mission, when you get, like, the mission brief you.
When you complete a mission, you can do the pop-up, and it'll tell you how you did and what markers you need to hit to...
Yep.
Oh, that's sweet. Shout-out to the chat room. Cameron just popped into the chat. Thanks. He designed our Working Class Nerds logo, and he's working with us on the final logos for our upcoming website that will be released in 2019.
Yep.
So anyway, moving on.
Marcus, what have you been up to this week? You never got into that.
Oh, I didn't even talk about me. So, finally, I got serious back into Ops this past week. I did a ton. But the biggest thing for me is I feel like Death Star Troopers finally got serious. I've been talking about it for a while, and I wanted to see how it went. We had some people out on Sunday, but I still said, you know what? Forget that. Let's go to Terra from Beyond, and let's do hard mode, and let's see how we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now this is my essentially like the second time I've ever done a hard mode anything, and we beat the first two bosses, which, you know, we died sometimes and a couple of times. It was my fault completely. And we got to Operator 9, which is the third boss, and that was after, remember the lightning where, hey,
yes.
Nick, don't stand in the lightning?
Yeah, and I did like every single time.
Yeah, you jumped right to the lightning and stood in it. Well, we right past that, there's...
another boss.
Yep, and it's Operator 9, and we only pulled once, I think we could have beat them that night, but you know, we just didn't have enough time to do it. So I'm looking forward to this Sunday. And a little technique that I think I'm going to do for the team is, you know, because we only run once a week. So I think what I want to do is I want to do every op once a week and try to beat the goal is to beat the first boss for every op. And if we beat the first boss and we beat the second boss, great. But the next week, don't go back there. Just go to the next op and see, you know, how we do and bang our heads against the wall for the night and then go to the next one. But anyway, then, like I said, I'm getting back into ops. Monday I saw Dent's team was down a couple people. You know, December is a tough month. Well, the holiday season is tough because people are busy.
Yeah.
You know, and Christmas shopping and whatever you're doing, Hanukkah, and I don't know what other holidays are in these months. But so I filled in with them. We did Dread Palace. I love that op. Then Tuesday, I finally did a mandatory fun night.
What?
I played every night this week. Well, it kind of helped that my wife is really tired. And every time I try to, like, sit with her for a little while, she's like, look it. I haven't had any peace and quiet in, like, 20 hours. Leave me alone. And I'm like, all right, gotta go.
Stop. Mandatory fun night.
Yeah. I don't even say, I give her a kiss and don't even say goodbye. And I'm already down the stairs and the computer's on. So we have, so that was Tuesday. We did a bunch of random things. They were doing the conquest thing, and you know how well I do at that.
But about as well as I do in ops.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in the SOTOR stuff. But then Wednesday, I got to run with the SUP guys again, and we did Temple of Sacrifice, which that's the op that always kicks you in the dick.
Yeah.
Because the Underlurker is the third boss, and he always beats your butt. And it's like a motivation stopper. Well, we beat him, and the next fight is actually hard. And everybody's like, oh, it'll be no problem, it'll be no problem. Well, we banged our head against the wall for, you know.
Yeah, it's Underlurker. We, what, two-shot?
Well, that's because you were using your DPS gear.
And yeah, I fully respect DPS for that.
Right. But so you output a lot of DPS damage when you're there. I always like doing the Aleve or Elve and Esni fight because we're on opposite sides, and my DPS is pretty equal to yours, so it's always
it's
fun
a race,
to see.
Yeah,
it's a race, and it's kind of like bragging rights. But anyway, in SOTOR news, the PTS is finally closed.
Woo!
Yeah, so Eric dropped a little message in the developer tracker and said, we're closing the PTS. We're ready to go live, which means Seema was right, and she called like a month ago that December 11th was the day that the game update 5.10 comes out, and she was right. So next Tuesday, it's coming out. We're going to Ossus to the planet. I'm excited to see the planet because it looks beautiful. I did not go there on the PTS. I refuse to see anything. I want to be like wooed about it. And then I went to I just lost my train of thought. Fuck.
You went to Ossus. What?
No, Ossus? Oh yeah, so I'm excited to see Ossus. I don't know if I really am excited about the gear grind because I only have a couple hours a night I can play.
Right.
And when those couple hours a night I'm running ops.
Right.
It's hard to do something else. And as soon as I sign in, if a team is running, they're like, huh, Marcus is on. He'll come with us.
Right.
Because he's got a team and he always is looking for help. So, you know, you're almost obligated to say, yes, I'll help you because you have a team.
You'll still get the RNG chance in the crates, but
it's not. It's going to be uber rare. The main way to get this gear is to grind on the planet. And that's.
Yeah, and I know.
I'm excited for the new story. I'm excited for the planet. I'm excited for all that stuff. The biggest thing that I'm nervous about, but maybe it'll change, is for 2 years they've been doing this Galactic Command, and that's how you got your gear, plus, you know, doing ops, and plus the unassembled components. And I think it was a great way to get gear. Now they're going back to the old way, where you have to grind and do all these things and do the hardest content, and I don't know if I have the time to invest into getting it.
Right.
So I guess it's a wait and see kind of thing. But other than that, on November 30th, I think that was after our show, last show.
Yep.
There was a post. It was called Jedi Under Siege, State of the Galaxy. Basically, on SOTOR.com, they put out a big, like, short story from the view of Lana Beniko, which is one of our companions.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about, she told us what was going on with, if you sided with the Republic, or what is going on in the Sith Empire if you sided with the Sith Empire in Iokath. So it was kind of cool to see, like, almost like a catch-up speed. So it was a good read. I posted it in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody else is going to see that. Go to SWORDTOR.com and you'll find it. I am not going to make Nick read that.
Yeah, this is this will be half the show.
Yeah, exactly. And we still have a long way to go. So if all this sounds fun to you, go to aie-guild.org, get our Discord information, and jump into the SWORDTOR channel and ask for a guild invite. Or direct message me. But I hear, you know, Dent is really good at inviting.
Yeah, like Marcus can do it, Zen can do it, B. Kavanaugh can do it.
Corley can do it, Max can do it, Jana can do it, Seema can do it, but Dent is the best inviter there is.
He's the best.
Yeah. You want to make that happen.
He's the Masterson of guild invites.
Sure. Yeah, so, sure, you betcha.
Yeah. So anyway, but other than that...
That's it for SOTOR news, right?
Yeah, and we'd love to have you in the guild. I'm sure once this Red Dead Online comes in, there's going to be some kind of AIE presence in it.
Oh, absolutely. Dent and I were just having a quick chat back and forth in prep for the show. Like, you know, once I finish the story, I'd like to get into online stuff. I'm sure that'd be cool to rob a train with a bunch of AIE guildies. You know what I mean? That would be cool.
I wouldn't mind just going hunting.
The hunting would be fun, too.
Wait, can you hunt together?
Yeah. I don't see why not.
Yeah, you can...
You can.
Yeah, you can split up the pelts.
Right. That would be cool.
Oh, wow. So, so Nick, you want to take a break?
Sure. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Today we're discussing Red Dead Redemption 2. What we like, what we don't like, and our overall thoughts. Marcus asks, oh,
shit. See, this is why I do this part.
Is it worth the hype? So I'm going to ask, so simple, we're going to really dive into this. So this is almost like, I'm going to quote the council. It's kind of an icebreaker.
Right.
So just quick answer. Al, is the game worth $60?
Hang on. Before we get started, Al, I don't mean to cut you off, but before we get started on Red Dead Redemption, there's something I have to do. I got to get into character if I'm going to talk about this game. So hang on.
He's going to pull a hat, isn't he? Yep.
All right. All right. Give me one moment.
Are you kidding me?
Yeehaw! All right.
All right.
So, I got a hat for you, too.
Wait, you're not going to wear it?
Well, I can't wear it with headphones on. I can put it over the top.
Yeah, put it over the top.
Perfect.
All right. Here. Wow. This show just...
Yep.
So, I also have a...
All right.
All right.
There we go. Yeah, this is the only... roughly cowboy gun I could find.
Wow, this is a shit show. Whoever's listening to this on podcast form is going to be like, what the fuck is wrong with these guys?
So I had a free look at tequila hat. It's a cowboy shaped hat.
Wait, I gotta take off my other hat.
Mariana just goes facepalm. That was awesome. So anyways, back at the ranch.
Alright, so now that we're cowboys or whatever. Anyway,
thanks for the invite.
Sorry. Well, you're playing. Yeah. So, anyway. So I guess my first question, Al, is the game worth the hype?
Yes.
Dent, is the game worth the hype?
Yeah, I love slinging through the streets of New York. Oh, wait, that's Spider-Man.
Nick, is the game worth it?
Yes, 100%.
All right. Al, 1 out of 10, what do you think?
A 10.
Whoa.
I'd give it a solid 10.
Wow. All right. Dent,
what do you think? Yeah, I'd give it 2 thumbs up. It's I'm having a really, really good time with it. I can't stop playing it, actually.
What?
Me too.
I don't know.
What?
I don't know. 2 thumbs up? I mean...
Out of 10?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I give it probably like a 9.5.
What? I can't wait to hear why you didn't give it a 10. I mean, come on. All right, Al, what are your initial thoughts about the game?
Honestly, I loved it from the very first second when you're riding your horse on the snow until the very last second. Keep in mind, I 100%ed the game.
You already 100%ed the whole game?
Yeah, so aside from the multiplayer, the online version, I did all the challenges, all the missions, side missions. It's an amazing game.
Al, did you sleep?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Dan.
No, I was going to ask, did you complete with the high honor or low honor?
With the high honor. Yeah. So I was all the way to the right.
Yeah.
Wow.
The white ball. Yeah.
Which can only happen in the last chapter.
Well, you can only get to the max in the last chapter?
Yeah.
I was wondering why. Like, I keep doing all this cool stuff, and I say hi to everybody, and then, see, for reference, I'm in chapter 4. And it only goes like 3/4 of the way to the height, you know, to the good side, I should say.
I don't even know what to say. The game just came out.
That's so impressive.
Did it come out 3 weeks ago?
I guess. Yeah, I think so. Wow. Yeah, I went with Al to go get it 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Al, that's impressive, sir.
Yeah.
But you're not alone. The whole Red Dead Redemption subreddit is full of people that have 100%ed it and are just all only talking about the online content.
Yeah, they've fully switched over to online.
Yeah, that whole subreddit is just online. It's basically useless for me.
I mean, keep in mind, we had a Thanksgiving break where, you know, it's a whole week doing nothing.
I guess.
A whole week doing Red Dead Redemption.
that's fair. That's where I got a lot of my gameplay.
All right. So, Dent, your initial thoughts?
The first chapter is a little, I thought, is a little slow, but it's meant to be that way because it's your tutorial.
Right.
But that after you clear that, get out of the snow, though, it opens right up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's enjoyable. I enjoyed the snow. So now this is where I can kind of just dive in a little. On my PS4 Pro, it looked great. I thought the snow was a perfect first mission kind of a thing because, you know, it's a little slower and you got to do those things. You know, I don't know. I enjoyed the snow part, but it was very linear.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It is on rails because it's meant to be because it's kind of that tutorial. So it's trying to teach you all the game mechanics the basic game mechanics you're going to need throughout the game.
Right. For my initial thoughts, I think it's just a fantastic and immersive experience, which are kind of like, that's kind of a buzzword, I guess, but it really puts you into 1899, like as an outlaw, basically.
Yep.
It's one of the most, like, I don't know another word besides immersive to use, but it really is. Like, you feel like it puts you into the life of an outlaw in that time period. Like, all the interactions with other people seem authentic. Like, the fact
especially with all the gang members.
Exactly. All the other gang members, all the other, you know, the people that aren't necessarily that was in your gang. It's all very organic. It feels real. Your interactions with other people feel real. Your interactions with the environment feel real. You get hungry. You have to eat. You have to wear certain outfits in the cold, certain outfits in the heat.
Yeah, well,
it feels very like you're in that world.
Yes.
And I just, for me, I love it. It's like one of my favorite games ever.
You can take a bath.
You can take a bath. You can get help taking a
bath.
Which is less sexual than you might imagine.
The cool part about it is something you guys said about your gang members, right? So,
you get drunk.
You guys, us four, we're all gang members. Well, all four of us have 4 different personalities. So Al is just going to sit on the couch and he's going to pee his pants and just until he beats Red Dead Redemption 2.
Oh, yeah.
Fast as best gun.
I can't even deny it.
So my point is when you have 15 people from, in a posse, that's 15 different opinions, and the game allows those opinions and personalities to, like, run wild. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what's crazy to me. And if anything about a game that has shown how video games have grown, it's this game. Like, yeah. GTA 5 was cool, but this game really changed that.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed doing the chores around the camp because I was getting to listen into everyone else's conversations between themselves. And that just gave it another depth of, like, realism that I've been really enjoying.
Right.
Me too, 100%.
And I've said it in previous episodes. For me, when I play a video game, it's all about the experience. Mm-hmm. Am I immersed into that world? And the great thing about Red Dead Redemption that until now not a single game has done is the hyper-realism. It's, you're riding your horse and all of a sudden a couple of squirrels are right next to you running around. Or, mm-hmm. The immersive...
How many stars are those squirrels?
There were 3.
Stars are the quality of pelt that you get after you kill them.
Yeah,
small game arrow, best.
Yeah.
So, I guess let me ask this. Because let's do the negative first because, I want to talk about all the positives of the game.
Right.
But, Nick, I'll start with you. What was your least favorite part about the game? Gameplay, the setting, anything about the game?
So, my least favorite mechanic, which is also kind of cool because it does make it more immersive, is the lack of fast travel. Now, let me clarify. Fast travel does exist in the game, but you have to unlock it later. Once you upgrade the camp in a certain spot, you can unlock fast travel, but only from the camp. So you have to be at your camp, and then you can fast travel to big towns you've been to before, that's okay. But I find myself, I'm never at the camp when I need to fast travel. I'm always in some other place. You know what I mean?
Why would you want to fast travel?
That's what I said, Dent. Thank you.
So that's what I'm saying. So I called it. I said it was a 9.5 out of 10. So this is a very minor gripe.
Because
I love the game.
If you fast travel, you might miss that guy that got bit by the snake 3 times.
So who then will buy you anything you want in the gunsmith or the general store or wherever you
right,
cross
exactly.
the next.
That guy's gotten bitten 3 times for me.
So, not me too. So you can, one of the random encounters that you can come across while you're galloping across New Hanover, is just a random guy that's like, hey, help me, I got bit by a snake. So you go over and you can give him medicine, or you can kill him, or whatever.
Yeah, there's actually 2 of those guys, because there's one that will give you access to the gunsmith up in Annisburg.
Yep.
And then there's the guy in Rhodes.
Correct.
I've had a guy in Valentine, too. I think he goes all over the place.
Oh, there are other, different people.
Yeah, there are different encounters, but it's all pretty much the same. That's right. I did help that guy because he let me in the gun store as well.
Right, but anyways, you help him, and then if you go back to the town that he was nearby, he'll be outside and then call you as you're walking by. It's like, hey, you're the guy that helped me. And then if you go up to him, he'll say, thank you so much for helping me. Blah blah blah. Here, pick out anything inside that you want. You can go into the shop and buy whatever, which can be a gun or bullets or whatever you pick.
Right.
Yeah, cool. I think at that point when I got those opportunities, I was already had all the guns I could own.
Right. Yeah. Me too. Me too.
So actually, instead, I what was it? I was purchasing the holster upgrades.
Yep, I think that's what I ended up going with too. I tried to pick the most expensive thing left.
Yeah. I did. I was doing the same.
So, Al, for you, what are some negatives or the negative thing that you don't like about the game?
Well, first of all, I want to, with all due respect, disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
You can fast travel. You have train stations. You have coaches.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're going to the nearest train station is going to be three, four minutes in real life.
That's true.
But it's also consistent with the time period. So everyone wanted the new Red Dead Redemption to be consistent with, you know, 1899.
Right.
Therefore, you can't fast travel. Regarding me, it's the button layout.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Rockstar wanted to make the game as realistic as possible. So they've put multiple actions in one button. For example, the button for you mounting your horse and the button for you grabbing a guy and just strangling him is both triangle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've had that problem.
You have no idea how many times at Saint Denis, instead of mounting my horse, I grabbed a police officer, choking him to death.
I've done that before, too. And then, boop, you get like a $40 bounty or something.
Right, but again,
I surrender.
Even in situations like that, I still laugh instead of getting annoyed at the game.
Right, right. So, I agree there.
So asking about, what do you mean a bounty?
So
if you're bad and you're caught and there's witnesses, they'll report you and they'll start searching for you and you'll accrue a bounty that you have to pay off. If your bounty is too high, then bounty hunters start chasing you, or you're going to be chased out of town by lawmen.
Oh, wow, that's cool, because in Assassin's Creed, it was the same kind of thing, but you made somebody mad and, you know, they're hunting you.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? They just walk around the city, and when you become, like, getting, like, within 30 meters of them or so,
they'll, like, see you or whatever.
Yeah, they see you and chase you.
And if you get a high enough bounty, it's, like, it gets hard to do almost anything because bounty hunters are constantly chasing you down.
So the
trick is to not have any witnesses.
Right.
No witnesses.
There's a... Yeah. That's actually a bullet point later on that I was going to get to.
Well, I just hear bounty. I'm not following the show notes.
That's all good. But I don't care at all.
And on the flip side, you can be a bounty hunter as well and chase down some wanted posters that are fun. Those are fun.
That's really cool. Dent, did you have any negatives?
I'm going to finish that thought with those bounties. After they're caught and you bring them in, if next, like, couple game days later, you can go back to town and see the hanging.
Oh, I should do that. I've never seen the hanging before. I catch them and ditch them and then never come back.
Yeah, depending on the bounty, you can see them being hanged.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll and it's actually not a cutscene, but you'll see the whole speech, the sentencing. The guy saying, "May God have mercy upon your soul."
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And you just walk up to it.
Depending on who it is, like if they have family members, like they'll stay and just weep and stuff like that. It's like you can just walk by and see it on your horse and keep on going.
Yep.
But it's one of those things. It's like, oh, let me see what's going on here.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that is really crazy. Well, speaking of crazy, is the thing that always amazes me about, like, the Grand Theft Auto games and stuff is the map.
Yeah.
You know, like, Los Santos is fucking huge.
Mm-hmm.
But you start off in this little bitty corner. You're driving the streets and you're like, oh, I'm starting to learn my way. And then something unlocks and now you can drive to another part. You can drive into Oakland.
Right, and it's like double the size.
Right, and you're like double the size. And then you go to like the desert part or the mountains or whatever, and it just, the whole map just goes like this. How is that in Red Dead? Same kind of concept?
Absolutely.
Once you get out of Chapter 1, you can go anywhere except the Blackwater area.
Right.
Right.
A couple of times I've tried to make the dash through Blackwater to get to... The other side of it, but it's the game mechanics won't allow you.
Yeah, now, it's waiting for like later in the game, basically, right?
It's at post game.
Right.
Have you gentlemen completed the game?
No, I have not.
I'm one mission into Chapter 6.
So can I give very mild spoilers?
No. Yeah, I've already been spoiled, so.
Well, I know there's an epilogue in some capacity, but
right,
other than
no, no. It's regarding the map, so.
Oh, okay, that's fine. But that's, other than that, yeah, try to keep it spoiler free for me, please.
I'll do my best. That's the one of the best things that I found in Red Dead Redemption 2, is once you unlock the epilogue,
yeah,
everything west of Blackwater is the original map from Red Dead Redemption Remastered.
Oh,
right. I knew that. That's why I've been trying to go over there, because I found some things that relate to that area, but I can't do it.
So right. It's the map is identical minus Mexico.
Right. Okay. And I knew it was right on the Mexican border.
Right.
Just from the map you get with the game. Okay. I thought like Fort Mercer is one of the spots that you like attack in Red Dead Redemption, the original. Now I get it. Okay.
You got a map to the game?
Well, no, I took yours.
Oh.
So, when Al and I went to go get the Red Dead Redemption 2, they only had one physical copy, and then I bought a digital download, because I was being nice to Al that day, I guess. And then Marcus played it for 2 hours and never touched it again, so I just took his map, because I knew he wasn't going to use it.
So, anybody that buys my Red Dead, there's no map in it.
Right.
Well, you know there's a decent map online.
That's true too, but it's not
rdr2map.com.
Yeah, but
I can't touch that one.
Yeah, I know. There's certain things that should be physical, like hang the map right above your monitor,
right.
So like, well, you're playing it, you can look up and go, oh, all right, and just kind of get a frame of reference.
Right.
And I'm sorry, like games like that deserve that. The whole like, I can't. Get down on like digital comics. I'll read them because I really want to, and then I'll go buy the real thing because I just need to have it.
Right, that you need that physical.
Yeah,
that physical.
Absolutely. Yeah. But how does the map unlock?
So as you go into that area, it's like
it's a fog of war.
Yeah.
So as soon as you enter in the area, you start seeing the rest of that part of the map.
Right.
Well, it's the same as SOTOR.
Yeah.
As soon as you unlock, walk into a section, you get some XP and
a portion
of the map opens up.
Right, but it's more of it's the area directly around, like the radius around you. It's just not like, bam, you get the entire.
Right. So like
district.
You do have access to the entire map except 5% and the old one from chapter 1.
What do you mean?
You can go explore the whole map 5 minutes after you load it in the game.
Oh. All right.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I like, speaking of like the map and stuff in the fog, I really like the, or I want to talk about, I should say, like the mission notifications or like, you know, where you can find quests, I guess you'd call them.
Oh,
I think that's really cool. Like the main mission is yellow, or like, yeah, the strangers will be a question mark. And it won't be like an exact area. You have to actually go hunt for them.
What do you mean?
So like on your map, you'll see like a foggy area. If it's a stranger, for instance, it'll be a question mark with a big gray fog over a pretty large area. And you have to go in that area and then look around to see somebody that you can talk to. So I like that because it makes you go to an area, not a specific spot. So. On your map, you're not just staring at the map and like not paying attention to the environment. So you can go to an area on the map, and then now you're looking in the game and enjoying the rest of the environment, the actual gameplay, and looking for that person. So it's another little feature that lets you become more immersed in that world. Well, I thought that was pretty cool. How it's like a fog; it's not just like a pinpoint. And as you get really close to them, like it'll become a pinpoint if you look back at your map.
Yep.
But by that point, you're basically talking to them anyway. So the immersion factor worked. You know what I mean? The point was already made.
Right.
I thought that was cool. I haven't seen that in a game before. I don't know if you guys have, but
Al, let me ask you, because you've completed the game. Do you find that some of the missions were hard to find? Or
no.
Did you just stumble across them?
See, a lot of the Stranger Things, you just stumble upon them.
Well, I love Stranger Things.
It's a great show.
A lot of the Stranger missions, you just end up being there at some point during your campaign. Especially if you're doing those challenges, you're going to encounter them.
Right.
The only problem with them is if you don't finish them, and you progressed an X amount in the story, you end up losing him.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of them are time sensitive.
I know for me, like one of the side missions with the priest, I don't know if that's time sensitive, but like I did an initial quest in Saint-Denis. There's a priest in Saint-Denis, and I'll keep it relatively spoiler-free here, but you do something, and you help him, you help a guy, whatever. And then one of the quests was like, oh, go, brother, whatever, wants to talk to you. And I said, oh, okay, so I did some other story mission, planning to go to it afterwards, and then when I went to go back to it, it wasn't on the map.
Sometimes it's time of day.
Yeah. Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Time of day actually matters on a lot of things. There's one...
I know there's one where you got to meet the mayor only at night or something like that too.
Yeah. Yep. That you have to. Yeah, you can only meet him at night because he doesn't want to be seen with you, pretty much.
Right.
Time of day matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This game is awesome, man.
Okay, so the one thing that kind of I'm going to tell you turned me off because I play games twice, but. One thing that I didn't like was how all of a sudden it was like, oh, you need to give your horse something to eat. And I'm like, what the fuck? I don't want to fucking feed my horse.
It's easy. You hit R1, tab over like once, and then you just hit the food button.
Yeah, boom. And the horse is happy camper.
He prefers hay.
Yeah, hay is the best.
Well,
and then the oatmeal crackers.
Well, I understand that, but classic right.
Oatcakes. And the best food to eat is the big game.
Yes,
hunt alligator.
Especially if you season it with various spices like oregano,
gives mint. You
stamina. Mint is good. Which one's Deadeye? Is that mint?
No, mint is health.
And then
But what I'm trying to say is, but that's okay. No, but my point is, that's one thing that I didn't like about the game, and having that just kind of, I was just like, it's just another thing you have to do, and I don't know how you can find the time to do that. I don't know. If I was playing, I'd just be able to do the story mission and forget about everything else and just move forward.
Yeah,
no, you don't have to go hunting. You can just get that can of beans and wolf that down.
Yeah, you can go to the store, buy some food, and boom, you're done.
Wait, so you don't have to hunt?
No, not at all.
No, but if you want to do the crafting portion of it,
right.
You need to hunt.
And right, if you want to complete it 100%.
I know you don't like crafting, Marcus.
But there is a bunch of crafting components in the game. Like
And there are legendary animals to hunt. Can be a challenge,
right? So like you can,
and those pelts you can get interesting outfits with,
right? Like I know one of the first ones you come across is the legendary bear, and I killed the bear, spoiler alert, but and that pelt is awesome because the bear's got like scars all over its face, it's missing an eye, and then you wear its head as like a hat, so you got like a big old bear head on top of your head.
Missing an eye
with scars.
Now, to be fair, legendary animals are the easiest one to kill.
Yeah, because you don't have to worry about what you're shooting them with.
Exactly.
Just get a shotgun with a slug on it and just unload with them.
Wait. There's animals that you have to worry about what you shoot them with?
Yes.
Yeah, so every animal, you need to shoot them with a special caliber bullet or a special arrow.
Why?
To kill it. Well,
because it can damage the pelt.
Exactly. Right. Think about it. If you shoot a squirrel with a shotgun, you'll damage the belt.
There's not much left in that squirrel.
Yeah, that's going to be...
Boom!
Like
it'll go from a 3-star to a 1-star.
Right. So it'll say, like, this one you go to skin the animal afterwards, you want a nice, perfectly intact pelt so that you can go sell it for a bunch of money. But if you shoot a squirrel with a shotgun and it's hamburger, obviously when you go to try to sell the Swiss cheese that is its fur, they're not going to give you a lot of money for it.
But with legendary animals, they don't care. You'll always get a legendary pelt. So just take a shotgun, deadeye it, 12 shots to the head, you got yourself a perfect pelt.
Right.
Wow.
Marcus is like, I couldn't care less about all this hunting stuff.
But you put in the show notes that hunting is a large part of the game.
Well, it kind of is.
It depends on how you want to play the game, though.
It can be.
I spent most of chapter 3 hunting.
Right. Like, I even spent a lot of time hunting at all. I did that bear mission, and I caught one legendary fish. And I think outside of that, I maybe killed, like, 5 or 6 animals, but which is really not a lot at all.
Wait, you can fish?
Yeah, you can fish, too.
You can fish.
There's legendary fish you can catch.
You can also fish with dynamite.
How do you guys have time?
That's what I'm saying. There's so much to do in this game. That's why it's taking me forever to progress.
Here's the best thing. There are actually simulators out there. Like hunting games or whatever. And Red Dead Redemption is doing a good enough job to be compared, just the hunting aspect, to those other games.
Right.
Like, for example, first of all, there are 500 different species of animals in this game.
What? 500?
That boggles my mind.
Yeah, and you can go study. You can study them and find them and get your compendium updated so you find right. every single species.
I also insane. Make money by getting wild horses and taming them and leveling them up and then selling them off.
You can do that too.
But my point being was that, let's say you want to hunt a bear, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go to the area where it's known that a bear is going to be located. You're mm-hmm. going to go, you're going to put some bait. You're going to make sure that you're putting the right bait.
Right, and after that, you're going to... Yeah.
Correct. And after that, you're going to position yourself in a way, because one of the game systems is that your body releases odor, and you want that odor to be against the wind so that the bear doesn't smell you.
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
No, it's fucking crazy. No. Or you can go get a lotion that covers your scent. But if it wears off, or like if you didn't use it, then yeah, you have to worry. The bear will smell you and say fuck off to the predator bait.
Yeah.
What the fuck? This boggles my mind. I'm like lost in this right now.
Yeah, this is just like a side thing that you don't really have to. I mean, you can. Exactly. It helps to hunt, but you don't have to hunt at all. Which is that's all this depth of is in the game for you to exploit if you want.
Do you
to.
You gain levels in the game? Like, is your gear rated? Or is it all the same gear? It's just look the same.
You can customize your gear to be so it's your weapons to be better. You do have to clean your weapons occasionally. Like mm-hmm. if you go through water, they degrade quicker than if not.
I'm on chapter 4. I think I've cleaned my guns like twice or three times ever. But like it's not like in Fallout where like it's hard to find a weapons repair kit. Like gun oil is everywhere.
The fucking terrible Fallout game that it is. We'll discuss that another day because it's fucking the worst.
Like New Vegas or
no,
whatever.
All of them.
Three, yeah,
it's
whichever
fucking
one.
Terrible. Yeah, I'm gonna zoom in. Wait, right. I'm gonna zoom in on your head, and I'm gonna do a headshot, and I'm gonna shoot you 3 times in the head, and it doesn't kill you. And now my gun's fucking broken. Because if what the fuck? Yeah, I don't know.
This is a rabbit hole we don't want
yeah,
to go into.
Yeah, this is a discussion for another day. But the next time a Fallout comes out, we'll talk about how terrible the game is.
Oh, we can. It's called Fallout 76.
See, now, okay, I disagree because I like that idea of going into the Fallout world. There's 30 other people on the map, and you could be strolling down the street, strutting your stuff, and then there's that one asshole in the game that says,
see you later.
Fuck this guy, let's fight. Yeah. And if you're not up to par, you're dead.
Right.
I kind of like that. And in that game, you don't lose everything, so it's not really that bad to die.
Right.
Yeah. See, they did wrong. Like, you can't initiate a fight with someone else. If I wanted to be the dick and I wanted to kill you, I will not be able to kill you.
In Fallout 76?
Yeah, unless you agree to fight with me.
Oh.
Lame.
Yeah, well, Dent always challenges me to a duel, and I say no.
Because you know you'll get your ass whooped.
No.
I've never challenged you to a duel.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Of course you have, in the Rishi Stronghold you have.
Well, because that's like that wasn't even a duel. That was everyone fighting for it.
Well, anyways, back at the ranch. Did you guys want to talk about anything special? Any other aspects?
Some of the other cool things is that some things in the game change over time.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of Valentine, there's a guy and his two sons are building a house.
Mm-hmm.
And during like chapter 2,
When you first you get
go,
there.
Yeah, when you first get there, you visit them, you have some conversations, you go do some missions, and you go and you check back in. And the house is built more. And then toward then he it's fully built and he sells it off. Or there's the logging camp in Strawberry in the Strawberry area mm-hmm. that yep. will like at first there's a forest and then it's gone.
Right.
Just tree stumps.
So that's really cool.
That's one of the neat things with that. I want to go back to the fast travel conversation for a second.
Sure.
With regards to like taking a train, mm-hmm. that's all well and good, but you don't have your horse afterwards.
Yeah, you
sometimes
do.
You do. You should. No,
like I've taken the train like twice, and both times my horse is somewhere between where I was and where I am.
Really? That's
yeah.
not supposed yeah, to happen.
That's a glitch.
Yeah. So it's like,
oh, no.
I go to whistle and it's like it's too far away. I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah, I've never had that issue.
Yeah, that's happened to me a couple times.
Oh, yikes. So, Al, anything you would like to hit on before we conclude our Red Dead Redemption?
Honestly,
powwow.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Al.
It's a great game. Everyone who has a PS4 and Xbox One, go buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have an Xbox One.
If you enjoyed the first one, this is a must. And a great debate that I've been watching people have was, who do you like more, John Marston or Arthur Morgan? So I'm actually curious to hear your opinions.
Okay, well, I'll right off the bat, I think Arthur Morgan's a better dude, just because now you always hear that, like, John, in the first game, you hear that John wasn't a great father to his son, Jack. In this game, at least through Chapter 4 that I've played, you can really see he's basically a dick and never there for Jack. So, like, I think he's a complete scumbag for not being there for his kid, because that's, like, a big deal morally for me. But, when you play as him outside of that, he's, like, a decent dude. But I think not being there for your kid is pretty unforgivable, so I think Arthur absolutely gets a leg up there in terms of, like, how good of a person he is. What do you think, Dan?
I like both characters for, like, kind of, like, different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how John was in the first Red Dead Redemption. I liked how his story was. And I like how Arthur's story is, and I can see how they like that redemption part of Arthur from where he was in the beginning of the game and how I've progressed them throughout the game mm-hmm. and those conversations and those choices that I've made. And then some of the missions, and it can be like, you know, oh, that was a fun little heartwarming mission. You took Jack fishing.
Right.
That was fun. there's another mission in chapter 6 that I just stumbled upon, and it was very sweet. He comes up to a widow whose husband has been buried for a week. They live in the middle of the forest. She's a city girl. She doesn't know how to skin. So Arthur's like, come on, bring your knife. We're going hunting. I'm going to show you how to do this.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was like, oh, you know what? That's a really nice little touching little bit of story there that I kind of liked.
Yeah, that's cool. I think Arthur's definitely a... Well, it's so like, it's tough for me to say too, because just because of the game limitations from the first game, you're not able to flesh out John Marston as much. Like, in this one, you can have all these cool little side missions for Arthur, whereas, like, just technology wasn't there to give you that much depth.
And you're also in the middle of it now, so it's hard to kind of have that subjective. You kind of have to, like, step back and look at them both. Maybe touch the first game a little bit to get the feel back for it.
Right.
The other thing is, brings up a good point, is in this one, correct me if I'm wrong, choices matter. So if you're a complete asshole from the start, like, you can't, like, you can't get help from anybody because they just hate you?
Is that sometimes true? in town, yeah.
Some mission, in some later missions, are locked out to you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's cool. Al, what did you think? I know you posed the question, but what were your thoughts on it?
I mean, Arthur, for me, is much better. And just wait until the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, I'm not going to spoil it to you, but it just hits you in the feels.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not going to, I can't.
You don't want to talk too much because you don't want to spoil anything.
Yep. But yeah, one of those is those story moments that they hit just right.
Yeah, okay.
Because there was, what was it, at the end of chapter 3, mm-hmm. I think that's what I'm thinking of. Like, there's that moment, and you go, and you're like, attacking this, like, old family
at their
plantation, and it's just like, that was awesome.
That was awesome. That was one of the badass moments in video games ever.
Things are getting real.
Yeah. When you're riding out to go do that mission is one of the most, like, I got like goosebumps from the adrenaline rush. I felt like I was one of the pack, like, going to go do that. And I don't want to say too many details because I want people to go play it because it was incredible. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
And awesome. I just gotta give the credit to the choice of music for this game.
Yes.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, the music, like, is perfect.
They nailed it.
Yep. I agree with you on that one.
Wow.
Whew, I can't say enough good things about this game.
So I'm going to throw one last wrench in this whole shit show.
Sure.
Is how the fuck can a company give Fortnite the game of the year?
Over this thing?
Over this game and listening to it and seeing it for myself. Like, what is wrong with people?
People just, no, like, they just gave, it was a popularity contest, that one. You know what I mean? There's
a lot more people playing Fortnite than
anything else at all. So that's all that was, just a popularity contest.
And just to be fair, absolutely everything that we've discussed until right now is only 50% of the game.
Right.
We still have the online version, where you still have missions and you still have different quests where you end up doing with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blast.
So we'll have to do another episode with Red Dead Online, it sounds like.
Well, and don't forget they're going
Maybe
to...
Maybe we could do it online.
Oh!
don't forget they're going to... releasing the zombie one, too.
I'm sure there's a DLC coming.
I'm pretty sure, and let me know what you guys think, but I'm pretty sure that one of the DLCs is going to be the original game remastered. And I'm really hoping, because they already did the world. The world is already
pretty much.
Half of the characters are already there.
Right. Yeah.
So might as well just do the, like, even if they copy-paste, even though I'm sure Rockstar is never going to do it, but copy-paste the
map,
the conversations between the characters during the cutscenes, because again, the map is identical.
It's still there, right?
Well,
so
they should, because it needs to be released for the PC.
Right, that's true. I think they're going to,
and they could essentially, if they, let's say next month they drop Red Dead Redemption 1 to the PC, PC gamers would destroy that game.
Yeah,
and then and all the console gamers would do it. So the other thing is, and then later on, release it to
release it to
the PC, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Someone has baby brain.
Yeah, sorry. it's really been a tough, it's been a tough 6 weeks or 7 weeks.
Sure.
So, thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming on.
No, thank you. I've enjoyed it, as always.
It's been my pleasure.
You guys are our peeps. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
Oh, chat room. Thank you. Mal, I'll be sending you a code.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.